This is the Morning Hookup on KFOR.
CJ Wiltshire. Keisei Tominaga. Deep three. No problem for Keisei.
Sign us up for this all day.
Austin got it back. Lawrence will try from the corner, and he hits his fifth from deep. There's the double to Walker. He finds Wiltshire left alone for a wide open three, and Nebraska's up five. Loose. Murray in the corner. Contested. Short. Hoiberg tips it for Walker. Nebraska's done it. They've swept the Iowa Hawkeyes for the first time since joining the Big Ten. An 81-77 stunner.
Good morning, Lincoln, Nebraska. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Morning Hookup. Bill Hux, Will Wilson, back together. Band back together after Will took a little trip with his buddy Chicago, but he did make it back. He is safe.
I am safe.
You're marked safe.
Yes.
Back in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Good to be back, man.
Well, glad to
good to be back. I had a good time in Chicago, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I would hope so. You didn't come back, well, that was a waste of my time, waste of money with my buddies.
Oh, God, no.
You know?
That was awesome.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Chicago's cool.
Chicago's cool. You need those breaks, get away, and I'm glad it worked out for you. Glad to have you back, though.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. We did have a lot of fun on Friday. Coryell Thomas set in for you. She did a phenomenal job, by the way. We're blessed that she would take the time, and all your sticky notes you put up for her, I would say most of them worked.
Okay, most of them.
But I'm not going to critique because I'm somewhat, I want to learn what's going on back there, but I'm not critiquing because she did a great job. She did us a solid by hanging out with us.
She did, yeah. And, you know, I was able to tune into a little bit of that first segment on Friday. I mean, it sounded like everything was going okay.
It was good. So, we had a lot of laughs. We had Dr. Dane Todd in, and we had a Twitter. Let's help Dr. Dane Todd get on Twitter here.
Yeah, what's this about? He's trying to get
Well, we were laughing about it. Well, we were looking at it and talking about Twitter and stuff and about, you know, him and I were talking about some business stuff and how it could help, you know?
Okay.
It helped.
Maybe talking business.
Get into the social side and things like that. By the way, just to update you, if you listen on Friday with Dr. Dane Todd with Nebraska Orthopedic Center, he was started at 60 followers. And he had not, so his Twitter was born in February of 19, by the way.
Okay.
That's when he was born. He did his first official tweet was August 30th of 19.
Okay.
So he had it for a few months.
It's been a while.
It's now official. It's updated. March 3rd, he sent one out.
Good for him.
And he's now 20 followers up from Friday.
Ooh, you know what's funny?
He's at 80.
I don't even know if I'm following him. I'll find out if I am.
He's 20 up. We got a lot of people like, yeah, we got to help Dr. Dane Todd. And he sent a tweet out.
Yeah, he did. I saw that. I did see that.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Good. All right. Well, then we got that going then. Okay. I missed a lot then. Yeah.
That was dynamic.
Now we have a Twitter campaign for Dane
Todd. Dr. Dane
Todd. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Because he rocks. He's our favorite fullback.
All right.
And the best orthopedic in this town.
Well, there was a lot over the weekend.
You think? We're going to talk about a big Husker weekend.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk Husker hoops. Evan Bland will be here with us in about 12 minutes or so. Baseball had a good weekend.
They did.
Regardless of yesterday, baseball had a good weekend. We sat here and talked about it like 1-2. You could see this being 1-2, not 2-1. We'll talk bracketology as well, and then we'll wrap this thing up with some stories out there. Okay? But
cool.
Might as well just start. Nebraska basketball goes to Iowa, gets an 81-77 victory.
Yeah.
Season sweep of Iowa. Ruin their senior day.
That's what we do. That is what Fred Hoiberg, Nebraska basketball teams do. They've ruined senior nights.
Just a lot.
What an
amazing game. 81-77. Nebraska improves a 16-15 overall. 9-11 in the conference. You're going to finish 12th. Your next game will be Wednesday night around 8 o'clock.
11th.
11th. Let's say 10th. 11th.
You said 12th.
12th. 11th.
We finished 11th.
11th. You'll get the 13th seed. You get Minnesota. There's a game at 5:30. The Nebraska game is 30 minutes after that game. You would assume around 8 o'clock at that point.
I could not watch the game over the weekend. I was traveling through Iowa, which, by the way, top three worst drives you could make in this country. And not to mention there was...
pretty fun going up. Sucks coming back.
Fun going up, sucks coming back. We thought the world's largest truck stop was going to be better than it was.
Those never are.
Very underwhelming.
Those never are.
But otherwise, you know, we're traveling through Iowa, and
that's terrible.
Just bad cell reception, so we couldn't stream the game. We had to listen to KP, Ken Pavelka, and I'm so glad we did, because listening to that type of game on the radio was it just felt right. And just to hear KP do his thing with Jake, and how we won that game, I've looked through the highlights. It's astounding how we easily could have gave that game away. We came back, we hit some shots, we got the lead, and then we hung on to that lead. That's top five wins we've had in the past 10 years.
You chalked this one up as a really, really good victory. But here's the deal. Like, you look at the stats. You mentioned the stats. There's, like, how did Nebraska win this game?
I don't know. It's insane.
They gave up 18 offensive rebounds. Iowa had 21 points off our turnovers. 31 second chance points.
There was like, two trends.
They also, by the way, just to let it out there, they also took 21 more shots than we did.
Yeah, because we were turning it over so much.
Like, you look at it going, how? Nebraska ends up shooting 58% for the day.
That's why.
For the day. And you're 14 of 26, 54% from three.
That's why.
Also, free throws didn't kill. You only shot 8 of them. You were 5 of 8. You took down big ones down the stretch. Rebounds end up being 36 apiece, but they're like the glaring set. 18 offensive rebounds, 15 turnovers to 6. It doesn't matter, because when you look at it, the stinking scoreboard said Nebraska 81, Iowa 77.
During the middle of that game, especially like early in the second half, it just was so ugly. I'm sure it was so hard to watch, because every other possession we were giving up an offensive rebound and we were turning the ball over. And usually a team like Iowa will take that and run with it. For some reason, they didn't. And I think you got to credit our defense for that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's what happened last time we played Iowa. You know, our defense was so good that they couldn't score. And that kind of happened. I think the last how many minutes of the game, they didn't even score a field goal.
I want to say it was the last 5 or 6 minutes.
So you got to credit.
They did not score.
You got to credit the defense again.
Defense, you get a late charge call within that as well. Your night looks like this from guys. You got it from everywhere, by the way. And I mean, everybody that played has a stat that will be a telling start of it. Derek Walker, 37 minutes, 9 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, just
almost
all three
that.
Phases right yeah. there. Tominaga continued 5 of 9 field goals, 11 points.
The start.
How about
he had,
Jamarcus Lawrence dropping 5 threes last night?
Oh, he's an incredible player. He's a baller.
C.J. Wilcher added 2 more threes. He was 5 of 7. He played 30 minutes. Sam Griesel had a hell of a first half. 14 points in the first half. Ended with 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Sam Hoiberg, how about dropping a 3 there around?
Huge.
Getting the charge, 9 points. Breidenbach, 4 of 7, by the way, 9 points.
He hit that 3.
Yep.
He had everybody played a good game.
They all played a great
Besides,
game.
Besides, like, the turnovers and giving up offensive rebounds, that obviously sucks, but
those don't happen
they
very
made
often,
up
Will
for
Wilson.
It.
Those stats I read and you win don't happen very often unless you get hot.
It's so
and
true.
Play good defense down the stretch.
That 3 from CJ to put us up 5 late in that game, that was giant. He had a great game. That's what happens, man. We said it all the time. If the defense comes out and plays how they do and our shooters shoot and make, that's what happens.
And this wasn't one he gave up, because at one point you looked up the scoreboard, you were kind of hanging, then I believe it was 62-55. You were down 7. You're like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts. But this team, it showed you everything it's been doing for the past month and a half, let's say. Whatever, 2 months.
Yeah.
Right? Gritty, the lock-in, you don't give up. You keep playing for each other, and then shots start to fall.
Yeah, and we got.
But yet, I have a gripe in this thing. Again, you're going to play on Wednesday. You're going to play Minnesota. I would want to say, like, I think you've locked up the NIT for the way you've played this thing out. Now, there's still more games to go. You get Minnesota. That'd be a win that would make the NIT committee look. Now, who knows? You might go out and win this whole thing. Don't know. I'm not throwing that out the door.
That's ridiculous.
The way they're playing, okay? But I would say the NIT is well in your sights right now. But this. Why in the – somebody explain the net rankings to me, because, Eric, I agree with your tweet, by the way.
That's Nelly.
The number of –
That's you call him Nelly. That's his name.
Nelly. Sorry. Nelly. At Nelly_Sun. Do you think they replace Fred's office window and chair each time the net rankings are... Yes, yes! It's incredible.
They make no sense.
I don't understand it. What is that? How many quad one wins we have now? Three, four?
You know what's funny is you look at quad, I think, four or three losses.
You haven't lost in those.
We haven't lost to any of them, which is...
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. But you know what? I don't know if we should matter much about it because I don't think the tournament is really a fair dream of ours right now.
It feels like it's not a clear picture of what has happened.
No, it's not. Ohio State is still above us.
You know?
In those
rankings.
But
what a regular season for these Cornhuskers.
Hell of a season. Hell of a way to cap it off.
Where you started with expectations, the injuries. You beat some really stinking good basketball teams. I mean, let's go back. Let's recap. You've got Iowa twice. You got the Hoojays. You beat them.
We beat Creighton.
Don't forget that.
We beat Creighton.
I'm telling you, if it wasn't for like the Northwestern coach who's done a phenomenal job at Northwestern, I'm not lying to you. Give Fred Hoiberg some votes for Coach of the Year in the Big Ten.
That's what Kevin
sounds Belka, crazy, but come on.
Hey, KP said the same thing on the broadcast last night. I think more people are thinking about that than you think.
Amazing.
I just think the way the season Northwestern had after the offseason they had, they lost some key guys, and you know how their season ended. I just think it's really impressive. They're a really good team. A really good team. I think they could win the tournament this weekend. I think they could win it all.
Very possible. Very possible. Man, but Nebraska's going to go into that thing. The 11 seed. I mean, what a season. I mean, seriously.
Well, by the way, go back to Jamarcus Lawrence.
Woo!
I mean, is there an all-freshman team? Do they make an all-freshman team?
I'm sure they do something like that, but he's got
to
be on it.
He needs to be on it. He is definitely top three freshman players
in
this league.
There's no doubt about it.
He is unbelievable.
No doubt about it.
Playing at a great level.
Man.
Yeah, just a fun way to cap off that season. A fun way to, you know. By the way, I got to give Kent Pavelka credit. You know, I know we don't. I got to say, I was listening to that broadcast, and when Sam Hoiberg took that charge,
yep.
All you heard was Iowa fans going nuts because they thought it was an and one, right?
They did.
They thought it was an and one. So you're listening to the broadcast, and all you could hear are Iowa fans yelling, and then all of a sudden, you know, and you're mad because you think it's an and one, right?
You're mad. You're pissed.
And all of a sudden, you hear KP's voice coming in. It sounded like this. It was like, offensive foul. We heard it was a charge. And just that moment, man, as a Nebraska ball fan, I loved it. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, you're fired up at that moment.
Oh, man, what a win. We haven't won there since, I think, 2013, right? That was that Doc Sadler team.
Yep.
Man,
but it's ultimately this goes back to I believe what Coach Hoiberg said beginning of the year. This is going to be a team hopefully you'll be proud of. If you're not proud of what you have witnessed over the last two and a half months from Nebraska basketball to make you feel really good about stuff, then you're crazy. It's insane.
Credit
6-1 down the stretch.
Yeah, 500 in regular season. Over 500 in regular season.
16-15. You're guaranteed 500.
You are.
Now, I know that's not the mission right now. There's still stuff in front of them. You got Minnesota.
But
and then
exactly
I think
right.
When you beat Minnesota, we're going to say when you beat Minnesota, which is going to be tough, by the way, because beating a team three times, I know people don't like to hear that, but it's always difficult to beat somebody three times.
And weird things happen in the Big Ten tournament.
Weird things happen. You're in a bigger arena, the sight lines of shooting, whatever. Playing in front of maybe a sparse crowd. I don't know at that time of night when it's the opening day what kind of crowd you're going to be playing in front of, having to bring your own energy, but beating a team three times, and then you get that victory. This is where you can't look ahead. One game at a time, survive and advance in the tournament. I believe it's Michigan State that awaits in round two.
I think you're right.
I believe it's Michigan State that awaits in round two.
No, I thought they got the first. I thought they're already quarters.
I don't think they got. Did they get the double bye?
I thought they did.
I apologize.
Yeah, we should have had this up, didn't we?
I have.
You're right. Michigan State is the sixth seed. We would go there. That's my fault.
Yeah, no, I have it right here. I just didn't flip it over. Yeah, we would go there.
Yep. You know, to be honest, it's not a bad draw. I know what happened with Michigan State a few weeks ago, or, you know, last week, whenever that was. But you're avoiding some really good teams.
Sorry, we are incorrect, by the way. It is Maryland. Maryland is the sixth seed, according to the Big Ten.
Okay, so I was right.
You are correct. So Maryland, you are correct. After everything, all the jockeying last night, you would be looking at playing Maryland.
Yeah, I already beat him once. I don't mind the draw, but it's you got to win. It's simple as that. And you know, like I said, we've seen some weird things happen in the Big Ten tournament. We've been a part of those weird things.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen on Wednesday.
It could. So be tuned in Wednesday. After 30 minutes after the opening game.
But what a win.
What a win.
We beat Iowa 3 times this year. Bunch of losers.
We own them on your senior days, by the way.
Isn't that fun?
Own them on their – it's so much fun.
In college
– nothing more satisfying. One, to get one, a win against what some people would consider or try to make your rival, right, in Iowa, Nebraska, rivalry. But to walk into their buildings, you did it in football, and now you did it in basketball. You sent the coach's son on his way.
Also,
with an L.
In college basketball, a top three best thing about college basketball is ruining senior days.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is amazing. And for some reason, we've done that many times here as a Nebraska team with different coaches. Yep. It's really fun. I love it.
An improbable way to do it. But they'll continue that march, like I said, Wednesday around 8 o'clock. I would assume 8 o'clock, but that first game's at 5:30. And then you'll get it 30 minutes after that. So speaking of something else that I think Nebraska fans maybe thought improbable was Nebraska baseball going up to Minneapolis and going 2-1. We're going to talk to Evan about that when we come back. Welcome back in the Morning Hook. I'm having a great time on a Monday. Let's bring on our guy, Evan Blam, the Omaha World Herald. Evan, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, gents. How's it going?
It's good. You know what? I know we're going to talk a ton of baseball, but I tell you what. Was there a better collective when you look at Husker sports, a better weekend, when you look at all the results, whether it be basketball, you look at wrestling, you look at even Trey Palmer running an electric 40, and then baseball. It was a pretty darn good weekend for Husker sports.
It is. Yeah, I mean, you go on like social media and you see like 5 different sport updates going on at once, and it can be something to keep track of for sure. But yeah, I mean, former Huskers had a good weekend at the draft, and obviously men's basketball beating Iowa, everyone will consider that a victory, and then what baseball did up in Minneapolis, and you know, I tweeted it out on Sunday, but it was the middle of the game. Nebraska's playing Ole Miss, and it's pretty quiet. And all of a sudden, there's just this roar from the sections, and everyone's kind of looking around like, what's going on? And, you know, sure enough, they were just celebrating the fact that Nebraska took down Iowa in Iowa City, a few hundred miles away. So the fan base is definitely tuned in. I think regardless of sport, there's definitely a passion for it. And weekends like this is, when those passions get stoked for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that because I just got a message from someone that was up there as well, listener of the show, at Ben Longnecker, that said the same thing. It's like, and it was a game that, you know what, you were hoping it was Ole Miss, but in the middle of it, you just heard the roar. So I've heard quite a few of those come out. But when you looked at this weekend for Nebraska baseball and you looked at what was in front of them, I think the overall feeling was, 1-2. Let's fight hard. You got number 7, number 4, 1-2. That's probably what you're looking at. But they got through that first game, and you get it done. You get good, really good pitching, I thought, from Olsen, who, they survived the 3 solo home runs. And then Shea comes in and shuts it down with 3, not 1, not 2, but 3 innings of shutout baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the weekend started about as well as you could hope for Nebraska. They fell behind early. After those 3 home runs, or midway through, and you kind of thought, man, that was their chance. And sure enough, they were able to rally. And like you said, Shea Shanneman shuts them down for the last 3 innings. And yeah, I mean, that was the win that made the weekend, because I think you would look at the Cambria College Classic and say that Nebraska probably should beat Hawaii. They've been a 500 team, haven't been to the postseason in about a dozen years. They've been on the mainland for like a month, so that's a team you probably need to handle. And then it was really just a matter of, can you get Vanderbilt or can you get Ole Miss? And they get that top 10 win on Friday. That's going to be an RPI gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. And, I think just the overall sentiment on Sunday then was, you have a chance to have a great weekend were you to go 3-0 and take down the Rebels. But, a good weekend is pretty solid too. And again, that's a weekend that's going to help their NCAA resumes down the stretch. And I think we learned a little bit more about Nebraska along the way, too. I mean, I believe they were error-free for the entire weekend. Yep. They went yard every game. The offense flexed for the most part. I think that continues to show that it's going to be formidable. And, you know, the co-aces in Emmett Olsen and Jace Kaminska had their best outings of the year. So I think there was a lot to be encouraged about. And now it sort of flips, right? Because you've had 10 games on the road to start the year, and now you've got the rest of the month in the state of Nebraska. Who knows how many games actually get in with the weather and everything. But this is traditionally where Nebraska starts stacking wins at home against teams that are maybe a little, on the disadvantaged side in terms of talent. And so we'll see. Like, this is where good Nebraska teams start to cruise and pile up wins. And so, they've earned it. They've earned the confidence. I think they've earned the momentum from what they have done the last two weekends. And now it's just a matter of carrying it forward.
We're talking to Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald. Going back to the weekend, and I know you were up in Minneapolis, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me know, who's a guy who you're surprised had a good weekend, or, just a guy that you didn't really, you're just kind of waiting to see that kind of shocked you? And then who's a guy that you're not surprised had a big weekend?
Well, I'm not surprised that Max Anderson had a big weekend. I mean, when he's on, he's living in that right center field gap, kind of going the other way and seeing the ball well. And, he was really impressive. And, part of the thing that was shocking, I think, about that Vanderbilt game was not just that they won, but that the way they did. I mean, they more than doubled up the Commodores in hits. They had 8 doubles in that game, which they haven't had 8 doubles in a game in like a decade. So it was not one of those deals where they got lucky in one inning and their starter had the game of his life. Like, there were some mistakes, but they flexed. And so I think Anderson was a guy who looked pretty good. I don't know if there's anybody that surprised me that, did well on the other end. I suppose Gabe Swanson is somebody who Nebraska really likes against left-handed pitching. And they saw 3 lefty starters this weekend. So we saw a lot of Gabe Swanson out there. He was sort of a reserve guy last year, got in occasionally, but he went deep on Saturday against Hawaii and, drove in 4. And so I think it's just further evidence that this lineup really is deeper, like a lot deeeper than it was last year, where, in 2022, you felt like maybe they would go 6 deep. And this year, they're trying to find ways to get Griffin Everett in the lineup, and they're trying to find ways to get Charlie Fisher in the lineup and Gabe Swanson. And, you can kind of go down the line, and there are these guys that are good hitters that there just isn't room for on a day-to-day basis. Now it sounds like Nebraska will be without Garrett Englum for at least a little while. He got a hamstring injury on Sunday. So, right away, you're testing that depth a little bit, and you're going to be able to take advantage of that, putting probably Charlie Fisher out there a little more, maybe Cole Evans. So through the marathon of a season, that's the kind of thing you have to have. And I think they've shown again, especially the last two weekends, but really all season, there are a number of sticks that can beat you. And, we saw that again in Minneapolis.
Evan, we got you, man. Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it sounded like it went out. No.
You cut off for a little bit. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I just think it proved over the last few weeks that there's depth in this lineup. I mean, so many different guys can hurt you, whether that's Swanson or Charlie Fisher or Griffin Everett or Bryce Matthews had a good weekend. I think that was probably encouraging for Nebraska fans to see, too, as a guy who is starting to look a lot more like his freshman self out there. So just a lot of sticks who can beat you, and I think that bodes well for them moving forward.
Again, we're speaking to Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald. Evan, I mean, obviously, like you said, we're going to be coming back home for a while, but there'd be, storylines upon storylines as this season moves on. You got, 10 or so straight coming up, but the weather is going to play a factor. We're going to be back home. It's that beautiful March weather coming off the weekend. It's going to be in the 40s. There might be some precipitation. But also, you're going to be welcoming back a former head coach coming back here, and Coach Mike Anderson. He'll be bringing his team here to town. Anything with that, any thoughts having Coach Anderson back? And again, the weather plays a factor like it always does in Lincoln early on.
Yeah, we always joke that, pitching changes during the Northern Colorado series. You might just want to hook up a dog to a sled and take that out to the mound. Maybe that's the best way to take the ball. No, but it is. It's interesting that Northern Colorado series really began annually for Nebraska. You got to go back to 2004 when Mike Anderson was the head coach in Lincoln, and UNC is his alma mater. So that's really kind of where that came from in the first place. And, you know, Nebraska over the years has feasted on those guys. You know, I think 34-5 or something like that. Ooh. Since that series became annual. So it's always been a get-right sort of couple of days for Nebraska. But this year it is definitely a different vibe with Mike Anderson and that other dugout. And I think it just causes you to stop and kind of think back on his tenure, you know, multiple Big 12 championships. He was the skipper when Nebraska won its only game at the College World Series in 2005. And then the last 3 years, 9, 10, and 11, you know, they don't make the Big 12 tournament. Tom Osborne, who's the AD at the time, fires Mike Anderson, and we really haven't seen a lot of him since. He has been an assistant at Oklahoma. He's coached high school baseball. He has been a prep baseball recruiter in Colorado. So this is that chance for him to come back. And it's pretty cool, I think, for the other dugout too, because, you know, Will Bolt was a player of his. Jeff Christie was a player of his, who's now the pitching coach at Nebraska. You know, he worked alongside Rob Childress, who's the director of player development now. So there's a lot of old connections there. And I know they want to keep the focus on the current teams and the current players, and you know that's how it should be. But I do think, you know, you see a familiar face like that in the first base dugout, it does cause you to go down memory lane a little bit. So it will be a little bit of a different vibe. But man, you look at the start Northern Colorado's had. I think they're 2-8 at this point. They've given up 30 runs a couple different times in games. They're really struggling out of the stretch. So really, some of the off the field storylines might be all you get in terms of compelling intrigue for these next couple of games.
We're talking to Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald. I want to go to basketball real quick, because what a win yesterday against the Hawkeyes. I put it up there for one of the best wins I've seen in the past 10 years, but. Talk about this Iowa game, this team, and how are you feeling about this team heading to Chicago this week?
It kind of reminded me of like the opposite of what we've seen from Nebraska-Iowa football over the last handful of years, where it's like, okay, you know, all these numbers point to Nebraska finally breaking through and Iowa finds a way. And this was, you know, the flip side of that in basketball, where there were so many things that you could point to, whether that was offensive rebounds or shooting woes or whatever, that would say, man, it's going to be tough for Nebraska to pull this thing out in Carver Hawkeye. And sure enough, they they find a way to get it done. And I mean, there's just a little bit something extra, I think, that goes into beating Iowa, certainly for the fans, but also for the players. And you hear their comments after the game. That meant a little bit something extra to them. I mean, it took away Iowa's double bye in the Big Ten tournament here coming up. I think that means something to the players. And, you know, there's this sense that it's not over yet. You know, they get Minnesota. Maybe you can go on some kind of a run and strengthen your NIT case, your NIT resume. And it's just been a fun team, right? Like, I think as much grief as the transfer portal rightly gets, a case like Sam Griesel, where a hometown kid can come back and enjoy a year with the hometown school and bring the success that they've had. I mean, it's just a cool story. You know, Keisei Tominaga, the ultimate showman, what he's been able to do this season is fun. Derek Walker sticking it out and pushing through adversity on and off the court. Like, it's a team, I think, of guys that are relatable, that fans enjoy rooting for. And, you know, we'll see what they do in Chicago and beyond, but it just, you know, 2 months ago it felt like this was going to be a slog to the finish, and now it's ended up that we're going to have some fun March basketball for the first time in a long time, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, like we said earlier, it goes back to what Coach Werberg, I think, said early before the season, that I think you're going to have a team they're going to be proud of, proud to go out and see and watch. And like we said, 2 months ago I thought this team was dead. I really did after the injury. You're like, oh no, where are the wins coming from? But I think we can all agree this might be Coach Hoiberg and this more to his staff, his best coaching job I think he's done maybe in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the brink. Like if things unfurl the rest of the way as it looked like they would 2 months ago, there's probably a coaching change, and who knows where things would go. But credit to him for, you know, reinventing himself a little bit and saying it's going to take maybe a little bit more ugly basketball and a little bit more defense first. He not only bought in, but his players, they weathered multiple injuries that looked like they were going to sink them. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're not going to give the Big Ten Coach of the Year award to a guy who finished 9-11 in the conference, but you could absolutely make the case that that what he did made a huge difference in the trajectory of not just Nebraska's season, but maybe the next few seasons after that as well. So, yeah, I mean, a best coaching job in Kooijberg's career, I suppose you could throw some of those Iowa State teams that he had up against that. But given the adversity, given the odds that were stacked against him 2 months ago, to end up where they are is pretty remarkable.
Well, Evan, we appreciate you buying in and hanging out with us every Monday, man. It's always appreciated. Take care of yourself. And this time next week, hopefully with the weather holding up, we'll be talking about a string of Nebraska baseball victories.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. Have a good one. That's Evan Bland on My World Herald right there. Hey, let's take another break. We come back. We're going to stick a little college hoops, talk bracketology, and what's ahead for some of these teams.
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. Not much of a girlfriend. I never seem to get a lot.
It's been some time since we last spoke. This is going
to
sound
welcome like back in the morning hookup. Bill Hook, Will Wilson. Special thanks to Evan Bland on Maha World Herald. Hey, did you see what Giannis did last night?
No.
So funny. 23, he had a triple-double last night. Did you see how he got the triple-double?
I did see this. I did see this.
Created his own rebound.
Yeah, he had a wide-open lane.
Yeah,
and then
what do you think?
He just intentionally hit it off the rim and grabbed it so he could get a rebound.
Take it off the board.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I love it. Hey, you know.
He knew where he was.
Got to get those triple-doubles.
Apparently they mean a lot.
They do.
I just saw that. I'm like, wow. Saw it on Sportsnet this morning as I was getting ready.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people who bet Giannis to get a triple-double. They were happy with that as well.
They were happy with that. Really? Wait, we are in conference tournament week upon us in the major conferences because there was some shuffling over the weekend with some losses, some wins. And so a lot of these teams, there'll be teams that'll be trying to maintain their spot and then also teams playing their way in. According to, you look at Jerry Palmer, Joe Lunardi, they're pretty similar teams. For instance, when you look in the Big Ten, last four in right now, you have two Big Ten teams on the last four in line. Penn State, Michigan. Both in, but what happens if they lose? Who does Michigan got start?
Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
I have it right here. So they got Rutgers.
That should be a win.
Who's in?
That should be a win.
Could
for
it
Michigan.
Be? I don't know.
Rutgers is not playing good right
in
now.
Michigan, a heartbreaking loss. They lost in overtime by 2 to Indiana. But that's been an interesting game on what happens there.
Uh-huh.
Penn State. Boy, this is a tough one for Penn. I mean, again, they're right now last four in. They've got to take on the 7 seed because they're the 10 seed. They take on Illinois.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game, but they've been playing good basketball. They beat some good teams. That was a hell of a win for them yesterday against Maryland, right?
Maryland. Yep.
I think you said they won on a buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm.
That's I mean, they're playing good ball. So, yeah, those two teams, they're right there. One win, I think, seals those guys
one
in.
One win, I think both those.
Yeah.
I mean, one win would seal both those teams. And now, last four out team, you look at it, you got Wisconsin.
They're not getting in.
Woo!
Unless a magical run happens in the Big Ten tournament, they're NIT.
You
all
think
day.
They oh, yeah. are? So they will get. They're the 12, and they get Ohio State to start. Though they'll get Ohio State, and then they
crazy.
Will go on. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, crazy how a team below us in the Big Ten standings is right now.
I don't get it. Whatever.
Last four out.
But they'll be taking on Ohio State. Will be a, you know whatever with Ohio State, and then they'll have to take on the winner. If whoever wins that game gets number 5 Iowa in that tournament. Mm.
Okay.
So there's three Big Ten teams that are still fighting for the right to get in.
I love how we're talking bracketology and you're failing to.
I'm getting there.
Okay, get there.
I went
there.
To the conferences.
Then get there right now. Get
I went
there.
To the conferences.
You I can't wait for this.
Carolina. Dummies, they're terrible.
Really?
They're terrible after a depressing loss the other night and both teams didn't play well, but whatever. They're first four out. First four out team right now with Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, Arizona State. They got to win like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
And by the way, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so, Mr. Bill.
We're not out yet.
But I told you they're not making it.
I tell you what, that thing is a humming right now. I promise you that.
NIT.
It ain't pretty.
NIT. It's not. They actually got a pretty good draw.
I wonder if they won't accept it.
Well, I'm sure they would. But you know what? I got to say, I like the draw they got in their conference tournament. It's a nice path.
Well, they're going to get Louisville or Boston College to start. I haven't really looked at the full bracket yet as it's fresh in the mind right now. Let's see. I got it right here. Sorry.
It's not a bad path.
Well, they're going to go. Here's the path. If you're going to get in, if you're a Carolina, let's say, it's not easy. You get Boston College or Louisville. They got to play in the first day. Carolina did get a bye in that thing. They'll get one of those. But then if they were to win, they would have to go get Virginia.
Who they just beat.
Okay. But neutral site, Virginia's a very good team. And then they would presumably have to get the winner of a Clemson, NC State type thing, whose state's playing really well in the sixth spot. And, you know, it's a long time. But they're going to have to win three games in the tournament.
It's not a bad path, but I doubt it.
They're going to have to win three. Some other teams that are sitting there that are securely, when you start looking at seedings now, you got Alabama still a one seed. You got Houston a one seed. Kansas, Purdue, those did not change. Those have not changed currently when you look at it. There's a lot of fun stuff, man, in this thing.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I still think this tournament is going to be
wide open.
It is. It's going to be wide open. But if there's a team that most brackets are going to have, it's going to be Kansas. It's going to be Kansas.
They're coming off a big one too. They just got thumped.
I know, but it's a Bill Self team.
I wouldn't count Houston out of this thing.
Really?
Nope.
I'm not fully bought in on. I mean, you look at each resume. You compare our resume with their wins. It's not too different.
From the perspective of you're looking at the Big Ten currently, these are all projections. Right now, you've got Illinois as an 8 seed, Indiana as a 4 seed. You've got Iowa sitting in as a 9 seed now. Purdue, like we said before, they're a projected 1 seed. You've got Maryland projected 8 seed. Hear that? That's a lot of 8-9 seeds for the Big Ten this year. I think it's down Northwestern. It might be their biggest one. They're a 6 seed, Michigan State a 7 seed. Be interested to see how all these play out, how the tournament plays out.
Yeah. I like Northwestern's team, and they're a team that I'm comfortable taking through two rounds. I think they're really, like I said, I think they could win. If I'm picking a team to win this weekend in the Big Ten tournament, they're my pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with it. We'll be fun. You and I should do a bracket for a challenge.
Ooh. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do a big little print some brackets. You and I will pick the Big Ten championship.
Wednesday's the
first game, so we'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that tomorrow. So, all right, let's take another break, and we'll go over some what's trending stories when we come back.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warmer G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I can get some phones rolling.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Last segment of the day. Hope everyone's having a great start to their week. As we are, there's a lot of stories out there from the weekend. We talked a ton of Huskers, which was a phenomenal week in for the Huskers. Wrestling had a great weekend as well. So, I mean, a lot of good stuff. Big Ten tournament coming up. So, but we also had, well, I think you got the list, right? Let's shout out women's basketball. First of all, shout out you guys, everyone here that covered those games and did such a phenomenal job going down to PBA and wherever you were to cover those games. And you guys are going to do it again coming up.
Yeah.
Boyd State coming up this week. But let's shout out winners.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't able to watch the final in Class A, but it was Millard South and Lincoln High, and Lincoln High unfortunately lost 72-60. But
what a season! What a job they have done at that program. Just amazing, and I think it's here to stay.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you think back, you know, 6-8 years and what that program was. It's amazing to see where they're at right now, and you got to credit Dominique Kelly.
Absolutely, she's been amazing.
An incredible coach. So, you know, runner up, but that's still really impressive in its own right. So. Congrats to that team. And then, you know, a few others. I don't know. That was really the only Lincoln team that kind of made it far. So, but congrats to all the other teams for making state. Now we move on to boys.
Now on to boys. Those kick off real soon.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yep.
Wednesday. Let's go.
We'll have that schedule made up here. It's made up right now. I just don't have it in front of me.
Nice.
What did we miss?
We missed. You probably could have missed it because he was running so fast. Trey Palmer. How about coming in a 4.33 fastest wide receiver?
Yeah, that's what he wanted. That's a good look.
That's moving.
Yeah, and if you're on Twitter, you've seen these videos of people like timing Trey Palmer themselves, and it's like lower than what the NFL posted. I don't know what to trust.
4.33 is blazing. That ain't gonna hurt you.
No, I'm with you. That is exactly what he wanted to do, and yeah, good combine for him.
From what I'm reading right now, by the way, going back to that Wednesday, 1:25. Looks like Jeff Motes will be on the call when Will Wilson will be on the board, it looks like. North Star, Bell West. Then at 3:10, you've got Lincoln East, Omaha West Side. Schmitty will be on the call. And then that night, 7:40, Southeast Gretna. Schmidt back on the call on Wednesday.
Yeah, there's some good games. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully these Lincoln teams can get
something done. It looks like you might have a game Thursday.
Yeah. Might have that Parkview Christian game.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Also, reports coming out right now out there. A lot of people looking at quarterbacks right now in the NFL. A lot of people looking at quarterbacks. Breaking from SportsCenter, from ESPN, is that Derek Carr is expected to sign with the Saints.
I heard that. I mean, from what I've read, it's done. Like, he is there.
That's supposed to happen today.
It's so weird to read stuff because CBS Sports, this was 1 hour ago.
Yep.
Okay, 1 hour ago before the news broke that he was signing with the Saints. The headline reads, Derek Carr leaning slightly towards Jets over Panthers and Saints. That was clearly wrong. I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know if we say bad report. I don't know. It's just, depending on what you read, you're going to get different answers. So.
Yep, so it looks like he's headed towards the Saints.
Yeah, it's a good fit.
Also, there's some reports out there that Lamar Jackson is expected to meet with the Ravens, and a deal is likely.
Okay, that'd be big. That'd be big because he would definitely wants to be paid. Mm-hmm. So Derek Carr goes to the Saints. That means the Jets are still looking for a quarterback. I think
we still don't know what Rodgers is going to do. He said he'll let you know when he knows.
He's going to play. He is going to play. He's not going to leave how much money, $20 million or something like that, on the table. He's going to play. So I think it's between the Jets or the Raiders. It's going to be one of those two.
One of those two.
Which one? I mean,
I don't know.
I'd probably go to the Raiders, even though New York, they got a good team. They got a nice team. I just like I like the Raiders' weapons more.
I do, too. So that'll be fun, something to watch. Yesterday, if you were like me and you watched a little golf yesterday, it was so interesting to watch this tournament. The Arnold Palmer, you probably didn't get a chance, did you?
I didn't watch any of it.
I caught the final. Kurt Kitayama ends up winning this at 9-under. Kurt Kitayama.
Never heard of him.
You probably have not, but he is a really good golfer. He has missed a few opportunities, outdueled by John Rahm, Xander Schauffele. He's got a lot of top five, top tens. It was an interesting tournament. I caught the back nine. He was well in the lead. Got to number 9 or 10. Triple bogeyed.
Ooh.
Triples. And look who was around him. Look who was around this leaderboard, and they couldn't get it done. Harris English, Roy McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Tyrrell Hatton, Scotty Scheffler. All those guys finished 1 or 2 behind. Kitayama came in 17 and knocked one in for birdie on 17 for a one-stroke lead. Interesting about this is about how one-time winning on the PGA Tour can change your life. I was reading this. His career earnings were 4.1.
4.1 million. 4.1 okay.
million. Yesterday, he won $3.6 million for the win.
Wow.
This is one of the designated tour events where the purse was $20 million total.
Okay.
$3.6 million.
What makes that fun is you said he tripled. How awesome would it be to triple a hole and then still win?
Mm-hmm.
That is so lucky that you had enough cushion to triple a hole.
He was two up.
And still win.
The crazy part was he was two up and end up being one down after that hole.
Oh, he went down.
He went from 11 under to 8 under.
Wow.
You had guys ahead of him. Spieth, McIlroy, all these guys were ahead. Spieth had putting troubles on the way down. Like 5-foot putts missing, pushing, pulling, things like that for Spieth. I thought he was going to be in control and win this thing. McIlroy just could not make a birdie. McIlroy could just not make the key putt.
Spieth has been so inconsistent these past few seasons. He has really good rounds, and then he just goes out there and just doesn't do anything.
This weekend, I think we should pick some golfers. I think so, because we are going to be at the Players Championship.
Which Tiger is not playing in.
So you will not, so most likely not see Tiger play until the Masters.
The Masters.
The next time you'll probably see him tee it up. It's at the Masters.
He's trying to do good there.
Well, I just think he's probably one of those things, you know, trying to get his body. Probably didn't ask good. Kuz just texted me, thanks, Liv, mo money. Yeah, Liv Golf, yeah, they created it.
Yeah, definitely.
But definitely. It was definitely sparred this for sure. But it doesn't mean I'm ever going to watch a lick of the C-Dub in the Liv.
When I was in Chicago, the buses were
the Liv buses?
Advertising CW Network.
Oh, my gosh.
They were still promoting Kings of Queens.
Way, Seventh Heaven stuff, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all that stuff. So,
right.
Well, from Will and I, we appreciate you on a Monday. Stay bundled up. Stay warm. Tomorrow, Brian Munson and a whole lot of us. Have a great Monday.